during the past few days when we gathered and waited upon the Lord. It impressed upon my heart some words from the book of Ezra. So will you please turn to the book of Ezra? We'll read from the first chapter, beginning with the first verse. Ezra chapter 1, verse 1. And in the first year of Cyrus, king of Persia, that the word of Jehovah by the mouth of Jeremiah might be accomplished, Jehovah stirred up the spirit of Cyrus, king of Persia, and he made a proclamation throughout his kingdom, and also in writing, saying, Thus says Cyrus, king of Persia, All the kingdoms of the earth has Jehovah the God of the heavens given to me, and he has charged me to build him a house at Jerusalem, which is in Judah. Whosoever there is among you of all his people, his God be with him, and let him go up to Jerusalem, which is in Judah, and build the house of Jehovah, the God of Israel. He is God, which is at Jerusalem. And whosoever remains in any place where he sojourns, let a man of his place help him with silver and with gold, and with goods and with beasts, besides the voluntary offering for the house of God, which it is at Jerusalem. And the chief fathers of Judah and Benjamin rose up, and the priests and the Levites, even all those whose spirit God has stirred, to go up to build the house of Jehovah, which is at Jerusalem. I believe that we all are familiar with the history of it. The people of Judah, the Jews, were taken into captivity, and they were in Babylon for 70 years. And when the 70 years were fulfilled, God stirred up the spirit of King Cyrus to make a proclamation to allow the Jews to go back to Jerusalem and rebuild the house of God. During those 70 years that the Jews sojourned in the land of captivity, they gradually had settled down to their life. They began to build houses for themselves. They built up their businesses. They had their lands. And they were given quite a high degree of liberty in every respect. I believe we all know that the great system of synagogues was instituted during that period. Of course, the temple in Jerusalem was utterly destroyed. Jerusalem was in ruin. But those people who were in captivity, they were still allowed to continue their worship of the Lord. So there they had many synagogues. In the synagogues, they could read the Bible, they could sing their praises, they could pray. They could do a lot of things to satisfy their heart of worship towards God. But after 70 years, the call came from God. Return to Jerusalem and rebuild the temple. When the call came to the Jews, only a remnant responded in their spirit and returned to build the house of God. Most of the people were well settled in Babylon. They felt quite comfortable there. It wasn't their native land, but they were used to it. They were rooted in the land. And if they were not given any religious liberty, I believe most of them would go back. But they were given a great degree of liberty. They had synagogues everywhere. It was even more convenient than the days when they were in the land of Judah. Because at that time, they had to travel long distance to Jerusalem if they wanted to worship, to sacrifice, to offer. But now, within walking distance, they could just gather together and there they had their time of worship. So most of them were quite happy with their lives. Most of them were quite contented, satisfied. Materially, they were very well, prosperous, and spiritually, they had that amount of worship that was quite satisfying if their religion or religious life was centered upon themselves. So when the call of God came, very few were stirred in their spirit to go back. Jerusalem was in ruin. The neighboring nations were not friendly. The temple was utterly destroyed. And to be uprooted from the place that they had sojourned for 70 years. To travel that dangerous journey. And to settle down in a ruined place. And to build from nothing. Wasn't a very appealing thing. Why couldn't they just settle down in the land of captivity? Could they not worship God as they did before? It wasn't perfect, that was true. There was no temple. Therefore, they could not offer sacrifice. Yet, they still could worship God. They could still read the book, the Torah, and sing songs, and pray to God. Why not just settle down and make the most out of it? Why must they go back to Jerusalem and to rebuild the temple? To those who live for themselves, the life in the land of captivity was good enough. Synagogue was good enough for them in their relationship with God. But for those few, not many, whose spirits
God has stirred. They could not sit back and watch Jerusalem in ruin and the temple undefiled. It was a call from God. It was not a cry from men, crying for Jerusalem, crying for the temple. It was a cry from God. God's heart was crying. He was not contented with what synagogues could offer to him. Synagogue was a human invention, a very ingenious one. It was a great invention. It was a good substitute, a very good imitation. Not the perfect, not the best, but the best that man could offer. Quite satisfying, quite convenient. A matter of expediency, and it seemed to meet the need of many. But God was not satisfied. God was not satisfied with that ingenious human invention of synagogue. He wanted one thing, his own house, the temple, in which the sacrifice could be offered. In that house, he could put his name and rest there. There he could be worshipped as he desired. Dear friends, it was not a call for man, not a cry from man. It was a call from God, a cry from the heart of God. Go back to Jerusalem and rebuild the house. Why could they not build the temple in Babylon? It would be much easier. But the temple could only be built in one place, Jerusalem. Babylon, which means confusion. On the ground of confusion, you can only build synagogues. But not temples. The temple, the house of God, could only be built in Jerusalem, the city of peace. Peace with God. Harmony with God, the ground of purity. Humanly, many would argue and say, why not? It was more convenient. And it will not be in hostile surroundings. It could be built easier and quicker. But the call of God was, go back to Jerusalem and build my house there. A remnant rose up. They were willing to be uprooted. They were willing to face all the dangers and perils of the road. They went back to that ruined city. Because their spirits were stirred. They were a people with purpose. The only reason for their going back was to rebuild the house. Not for their own comfort. They were quite comfortable in the land of captivity. They went back for just one reason, for God, for His satisfaction, for the fulfillment of His will, that God might have His heart desired. And in order to let God have His heart desired, they were willing to go through many heartbreaks and pains and sorrows. They were a people living for God and for God's purpose. They didn't care what happened to them. Nothing could hold them back. Their hearts were holy towards God. And it was this people that finally rebuilt the house. Of course, the story of the rebuilding of the house of God is very interesting, but I don't think we'll go into that. The thing that is on my heart is very simple, dear friends. What is the purpose of our being together? I often feel that from time to time we need to go back to God and reconsider, or better word, re-examine our position. Why are we here? Why are we here on earth in the first place? Why are we here in this way in the second place? What's the reason of our existence? What is the explanation for our conduct, for our way of life? Is there any purpose? Many of God's children today are living in the land of captivity. That's spiritual Babylon. Many of God's people are settled down in the land of confusion. I think the confusion in Christianity today is so great that many do not feel it anymore. If you are just a little bit confused, you are confused. If you are too much confused, you are not confused at all. You think that that's what it is. What else do you have? What else can you expect? Those who were born in the land of captivity, that's what they experience every day. And what more do you want? You have food. You have business. You can carry on. And you can worship. And what's good is, you can worship in the way that you want. There is great liberty there. Dear friends, many children of God today live in the land of confusion. Many children of God today live for themselves. They are the Lord's. True children of God. But they live for themselves, nonetheless. Yes, they worship God. Worship God in a way that is satisfying to human desire. You know, there is within man an instinct for God. Man must worship. And synagogue is the best invention. People today go to church, read the Bible, sing praises, sing hymns, and pray. And what more do you want? You have your religious life. And you're worshiping the true God. Everything is convenient. Very good. But dear brothers and sisters, the question is, are you really satisfied? Are you really satisfied with the situation you are in? Have you forgotten Jerusalem? Have you forgotten the house of God? Your need may be met. But how about God's need? Your heart may be satisfied, but how about God's heart? Is that all life is? What is the purpose of our life here? From God's viewpoint, you live a purposeful life, even if you go to sin. From God's viewpoint, it is emptiness. Without purpose, there is only one purpose, and that purpose is God. If your life is linked to God's purpose, you live a purposeful life. If not, your life is purposeless. Sooner or later, you will feel its emptiness. Sooner or later, you will be frustrated. Sooner or later, you discover there is no meaning in it. What is God's purpose for His people today? What is God's purpose for His people throughout the ages and the generations? What is God's purpose from eternity to eternity? Is our life related to that purpose? If your life is to be related to that purpose, you have to be uprooted. God does not allow us to settle down in our midst. God will destroy our midst that He may teach us how. The call has come. Go back to Jerusalem and rebuild the temple. Return to purity. Return to the simplicity of Christ. Life in Babylon is very complex. That's the center of the world civilization at that time. Return to Jerusalem the place of simplicity, of purity. I think there is nothing more important than this today for God's people. Return to simplicity. Oh, away from all the complicity and complex of life, of so-called Christian life. Go back to simplicity, to purity. That oneness, unity, life with God. As we leave everything and return to that simple life with God, you will find there the house of God is able to be built. Dear friends, are we willing to be obedient from everything? From everything that we are familiar with. From everything traditional to us, conventional and convenient. Are we willing to let go everything and just return to the simplicity of Christ, to live for God's purpose and nothing else? It's costly. When the call of God, whenever the call of God comes, it is costly. God never requires us to do a cheap thing. But are we ready? Has the Spirit of God stirred us? We must go back to Jerusalem. Out of Babylon, into Jerusalem. Out of confusion into peace. Out of complicity into simplicity of Christ. Do we respond? And dear brothers and sisters, it is there you'll find the house of God is able. Not just to meet the need of man that can be met in the synagogue, but something to be built that can meet the heart of God. The will of God. Something which is complete. There you'll find the preeminence of Christ. He takes the first place as the head of the body. And there you'll find a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, where all the members of the body are free to function together, as the Spirit leads, to serve God according to His will. When the people, that remnant, returned to Jerusalem, you'll find that the first thing they did was to offer themselves. The first thing they built was the altar. And the first thing they kept was to offer burnt offering and so forth. In other words, the whole picture was of people dedicated for one thing, for God. They all were there just for God. Dear brothers and sisters, so this is upon my heart after these days of prayer. I do not know if it will come as a confirmation to your heart, that as we re-examine our position before God, both as individuals and also as a company of God's people. May the Lord lead us back to examine ourselves in this way. Have we been lost in Babylon? Are we now in Jerusalem? What are we building? Are we building synagogues that can partially meet the need of man, but certainly not God's need? Or are we here by the grace of God building His house? That will satisfy God first, and of course, we too. So may the Lord.